Granted, he's only been a head football coach for the Baylor Bears for two seasons, but he's coming off a 12-2 year and a Sugar Bowl championship along with his conference championship. Is Dave Aranda the best young head coach in college football? Josh Pate of CBS and 24/7 says yes. This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, before we get into the content, I want to let you know there are some audio and video issues with today's show, so please bear with us over the course of our time with Josh Pate, because the content is as good as we've had on this program. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, we are now joined on the show by Josh Pate of 24/7 Sports and CBS. I'm Drake Toll from Sikkim365.com. Thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. And Josh, Dave Aranda came to a Baylor University in the middle of a pandemic, goes 2-7 in season number one, and people are thinking, okay, coming off an 11-1 year under Matt Rhule, is the guy to get it done? Turns it around at 12-2 in a Sugar Bowl championship in year two, and you're already on the Dave Aranda is the best coach under 45 or at 45 train. What got you there?
Well, it was unfair because I got to be around him a little bit this last year. So I had some access to him. And it's not that I didn't think highly of Aranda already, but there was nothing coming off that first season as a head coach in the middle of his second season that has sort of started to separate him in my mind. So he was just in a group of good coaches that I respected. And in talking to him, and the backdrop of me having gotten to be around Nick Saban a whole lot, Aranda just sounded like Nick Saban to me. And I'm not talking about saying the same stuff. I'm talking about believing and having a philosophy that kind of coincides with what I've heard Nick Saban preach for a long time. And when you're around Alabama, everything exudes what he preaches, which is the name of the game. That's leadership, more so than just talking. So when I was there for that Oklahoma game, and everyone remembers how big a day that was, me and a couple of the guys that I was there with from CBS, we are with Dave Aranda postgame, and it's kind of before the media scrum. And you can hear the locker room bouncing. They just stormed the field. Like, everybody remembers that day. It was a great day. And he was disappointed, and he wasn't faking it. And so I was asking him, you know, like, what are your thoughts right now? And remember, they had just lost to TCU the week before. Yeah. And so he said, you know, it's great that we won the game today. That was the goal. But it's a shame that I didn't really do my job, because we played at a level today that I think was a direct result of our loss last week. Now, you may hear that and you may say, what's the problem? They lost and they got motivated by it. Well, that's not the formula at all. That is not the formula for long-term sustainable success. That's not the way process-oriented people think. They exclude the result entirely in their motivation process. Motivation has to be intrinsic. It's not extrinsic, because that is a formula for complacency when you start winning. So Dave Aranda said, we haven't arrived yet. And I know that because we played at a level today that I think was a result of last week. When we get to the point where we just play at the same level every week, regardless of externals, regardless of what happened the week before, what everyone's saying about us, then we've arrived. So that makes my eyes open wide, because most people don't talk like that. Even if they do, they're faking it. That's not what they really believe. And so then you listen to him a little bit more. He's big on like the hierarchy of competence. And he talks about in year one, how he realized what he didn't know and how he had moved a lot of folks down there, staffers and their families and everything. And he realized, I got to bite the bullet. I got to make some staff moves. What we have right now is not going to work. And so he overhauled, and he also changed a lot about his core philosophy. I will give you a perfect example. If you're a Baylor fan, you watch how often they punted in situations where you thought they maybe should have gone for it in his first year. That kind of changed last year. It's just one example of many that shows an overarching philosophy shift over 1 year to second year that I think is reflected in that record year one to year two, but also it shows the rapid maturation process of a new coach. And so the third thing about that excites me is, okay, well then what's coming this year and next year and the year after that? Because I'm a believer that he's only scratched the surface of his potential.
Josh, this question is maybe the most loaded you have ever heard in your entire life because it has to do with the NIL and the age of the transfer portal, which is changing the face of college athletics in general. But, you know, I've made the case that it's almost different for Baylor because Dave Aranda, number one, is not recruiting a $1 million guy. If you want $1.5 million in college, you're probably not going to Baylor, and Dave Aranda doesn't want that. And if you're transferring out to go to Texas to make $1.5 million, Dave Aranda's saying, sweet, there's the door. So in that and the way the game is changing in general, how does a coach like Dave Aranda, who doesn't play into that, have sustained success moving forward?
You have to message properly. And I've spoken to some people around Baylor about this. It's part of that maturation process. It's part of not just having what you need to have. That's part one of the equation. But part two is, I've got to make sure they understand it. And I'm pointing out there to the recruiting world for those listening on pod. They have to understand it. I have to put that in the mind of a student athlete, of a prospect, and let them understand that you actually may have it in your best long-term interest to choose Baylor and Dave Aranda's Baylor over maybe a place that's offering you more front-end guarantees. And what he has to preach and what they have to hammer home is the difference in a 40-year decision and a 4-year decision. Because there's no doubt in my mind, if I'm a player now, there's no doubt if I go to Baylor, I'll be developed, whatever my maximum potential is. If I keep my nose clean, if I take care of things on my end, that man and that staff, they're going to develop me. I don't worry about that. But then I also have to understand, and this is hard for a 17-year-old, I understand, but you have to understand, even though I may have $550,000 that I stand to make right now that I may not make there, what am I gaining over the next 40 years of my life because of the investment into going to Baylor? Now, that stuff's boring, and I know that your average 17-year-old has already tuned it out. That's why you got to sell the support system on it too. And by default, a lot of the guys Baylor's going to recruit have that support system around them anyway. So that's where you got to sell it. You got to sell the 40-year over the 4-year. And I think also Dave Aranda, it's crazy to call this a flaw because really it's not a flaw. If you and I were just normal people walking the street, it would be admirable that you and I don't constantly walk up to people and tell them how great we are. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's called humility. I think one of the biggest struggles, crazy though this may seem, for Dave Aranda is balancing humility versus the need to project yourself and market yourself, because talent acquisition still is the name of the game. Now, think about that. Think about telling someone outside the world of college football, the guy's biggest flaw is he's a little too humble. You know, he's really good, a little bit too humble about it. And he didn't have a big enough chest. You know, he didn't get in people's face and talk about how good he is enough. If that's your biggest flaw and struggle that you have to overcome in your first 3 or 4 years as a head coach, you're probably on the right track.
That's the best part about his Twitter, I think, is the lack of tweets, right? While every other coach is trying to bring in traction or targeting SEO stuff to go viral, Dave Aranda is like, look, I don't even need a phone. Give me like a Nokia and let me call a recruit and I'm good. And he's got that classic level. He's got this, you know, I've seen him compared to Tom Landry and just this stoicism. He brings the sideline. But to me, Josh, there's the overarching question of if Baylor's going to be a national championship caliber program, which he put Baylor in that conversation around the playoff last season, and barring a loss to TCU, you're somewhere in that, you know, top five range. But there's the big bad SEC you got to deal with. I mean, the Big 12's yet to win a playoff game. What makes Dave Aranda different in that conversation? How can this one man take a Baylor football program to the caliber of these SEC teams?
I think the short answer is, so there are two conversations to have here. Competing for playoff spots versus winning a championship. Sounds like they're one in the same. There's a gulf between one and the other. Baylor will not win a national championship without a higher level of talent, because eventually you're going to run up against people like Nick Saban, like Kirby Smart, who they get the philosophical side of it too. They just got way better players than you. So that's just being brutally honest about it. If you can get yourself in the same general neighborhood as them, talent-wise, then you give yourself a shot. But the difference is mentality. The difference is, I go back to the word boring. It's the boring stuff that people who don't get it think is boring. once you get it, you sort of light up. I remember when I was like, in high school, when I was a kid, whatever. And I would hear stories about all these people who pay all this money to go to like motivational speaking conventions and life coaching conventions. And I would think it's such a waste of money and such a waste of time, because I would hear the quotes and it just sounded like everyone was saying the same thing. And it sounded like fortune cookie stuff, bumper sticker stuff to me. It didn't sound like it stuck. Well, that was my problem, because I didn't get it. I'm not saying they're all the real deal, but I'm saying in general, those people were lit up and they were excited about going and trying to acquire more wealth of wisdom, because they finally got it, or at least they got that they didn't get it, which goes back to that whole hierarchy of competence that your guy Dave Aranda talks about a lot. Well, if you finally get it in players' minds that you can be process-oriented over result-oriented, you don't need someone hating on you or doubting you to fire you up. You don't need to have a certain song coming through the Beats by Dre in order to get a maximum performance level out of you. All that stuff is exterior, and your maximum capability is already in you. There's nothing that a song or a hater pulls out of you that's not already in you. Now, what I just said is like one of the biggest keys to life and high performance. If you understand that, that's good for you. If you can get 85 kids in a locker room to understand that, then you're capable of almost anything. That's the difference.
So Josh, if the whole 24/7 CBS thing doesn't work out, like, do you go into coaching, and is that your first spiel when you walk into the locker room? Like, I look at all 6'4", 200 pounds of me that has never been athletic at all wants to run through a brick wall. So thank you at least for giving me that. Look, I'm a college guy. For those out there, we are filming at 9:05 Central Time. This is like uncharted territory for me. This is like 5 a.m. for the normal person in finals week two. So that right there gave me all of that I needed. That was my energy drink today. Josh, the next thing I want to get to is the quarterback battle, or really lack thereof, now that Gary Bohannon has transferred to USF. Blake Shapen has been moved into that spot, and Baylor's prospects going into next season. But first, I want to tell you about betonline.net. BetOnline is the number one source for sports betting and all your sports betting needs. Right now, you can go on there and bet on the Baylor Bears to win the Big 12 championship. They are number four odds to win the league behind Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Texas. Whose idea was that? I don't know. But it's basically like betonline.net wants to give you free money and you can go take it away from them. So go do that at betonline.net. Find all the latest odds. There's esports, there's online gaming, there's live betting for the sports going on right now. I live bet a couple nights going on an MLB game. I'll tell you that I did it. I won some money on the MLB. I don't watch a lot of baseball, but I did this time for betonline.net. Because look, if I'm going to get into it, if I'm really going to get interested in something that's not Baylor sports, you're going to have to put my money into it. That's what I did. So go to betonline.net. Do the exact same thing responsibly. BetOnline, where the game starts. BetOnline.net right now. So Josh, I saw 24/7 put Baylor at number five in the preseason rankings going into next year. I mean, you got four of the five offensive linemen back, but my big question, starts around that quarterback spot in the quarterback battle. I can only imagine you were about as shocked as everybody else was when Blake Shapen was named the starter. And now last year's 2,200 yard passer and 27 touchdown guy, Gary Bohannon, is gone.
Yeah. So this is another part of that whole, it's not a veneer because it's real. The appearance, the identity of Dave Aranda, I thought it was admirable what he did. Strategically, it was not sound. I think most personnel people out there were surprised right along with me, because I talk to coaches every day and I talk to them, especially over the last few months, about this thing specifically. I can't tell you how many staffers have told me behind the scenes, we know who our quarterback is. Don't publicize that, please, because we have to at least maintain the illusion of a QB battle, because if we name that guy the starter, this dude and this dude are going to transfer and we'll be one injury away from disaster. And then Dave Aranda had a perfect excuse to take a quarterback battle through the spring game, across summer workouts, and then the fall camp, and he chose not to do it, which is the player before program mentality that he preaches all the time. He backed it up. Doesn't even matter if you don't believe with the philosophy. You have to respect that he backed it up. So, yeah, I was surprised. And now, that makes Baylor really interesting for obvious reasons, because this is not a program that's trying to elevate. They literally won the conference title last year. And I think that's an anonymous conference title win, by the way. When people say Baylor, I don't know that immediately it clicks in people's minds defending Big 12 champ. It just doesn't. And but that is the case. And so what's the follow-up here? The follow-up is you're trying to duplicate that result with a different guy under center by your own choice. So you're choosing to go a different direction, but I think it also speaks to standard. And if you were to talk to Dave Aranda, I guarantee you he'd say, I love that we have that Big 12 championship trophy. I love that we won the Sugar Bowl. But if I'm telling you what my own personal and my also standard for this program is, we still haven't met it, because it goes back to that whole result-oriented versus process-oriented thing. He would look at the Big 12 championship and he would say, that's great. You know, but success is not always linear. It doesn't always go from 2 wins to 10 wins to 12 wins to titles. Sometimes it you know, it's a little chart and it bounces all over the place. But if you aggregate it all, it should trend in an upward direction. The fact of the matter is, Baylor is still not ultimately where they would perceive their destination to be. And he viewed that as necessary. You're not just accountable to one guy. You're not just accountable to Jerry Bohannon. You're accountable to the entire team. That staff looked around and they said, we think the guy who just won us a Big 12 championship is the second best option for this team. And they did what they thought they should do. And I don't think anyone got mad at him for then transferring out. But man, like, what kind of example will play out this fall? Because a lot of people will be watching that now. And what kind of example is going to play out this fall in Baylor down in Waco is going to go a long way probably to deciding how future personnel decisions are managed outside of Baylor.
Josh, when it comes to Blake Shapen now being the quarterback for this Baylor program, and you've talked about the building the people over program, right? That's getting lost a lot in college football, especially as it becomes more of when the NIL becomes more prevalent and the free agency or the transfer portal, if you will, has just taken over the game. Now then, going into next season, this is a Baylor squad that only took really one major transfer in Josh White, and the rest of the team's reloading from losing Tressen Ebner and Abram Smith and Jalen Petrie. Some of those buzz names, the SEO names, as I put them, are gone off this team, 11 of them, to the NFL. So how is this team a top five, top 10 caliber program next season individually in your eyes?
Well, so there's a big difference. To me, at least, there's a big difference in team and program here. Last year's team was what last year's team was.
Right.
I find program is like a 3 or 4 year snapshot. So really what Baylor's program is kind of still under development, because we haven't reached that window yet under Dave Aranda. We're just now entering year three. I will tell you, I wasn't involved intentionally in that poll. I asked them not to put me in there because I don't like ranking teams this early. So I can just criticize it all I want to, because I'm not a part of it. I don't know that I would put Baylor that high. That doesn't mean their ceiling is not up there. But I hear what you just said. Like, I think if you follow this program very closely, you know what you just said is true. And you know that there are holes, production holes to fill, if you want to call it that. I think if they have the intangibles on that team, the production will show. I think Baylor football in time will come to be known as a program that's about a lot more a core philosophy than needing this star player, because it's going to be a developmental program. It's going to be a sort of process over result type of program. And as a result, you're not going to watch it and see Baylor win because of 2 or 3 star players, and then they leave and they drop 6 games in the standings the next year. I don't think that'll ever be Baylor football. So the question to me, even though you listed those names, it's not about the names in particular. It's about what they brought intangibly. How much leadership did you lose? Like, I was talking to another coach not at Baylor about this the other day, who had a very good team last year. And a lot of the preview magazine culture will say, oh, he's got to replace all this talent. He told me, those were good players. A lot of them went to the league, but it's not the talent I'm worried about. I know we got good guys. I trust our ability to develop. We had a ton of leaders leave, and I don't know how we're going to replace that. Now, I don't know what they're saying at Baylor about that, but that's what you'll be watching for early on. I don't think there'll be a massive dip in production, as much as you may watch and you may see results not go your way, and you can't attribute it to one thing. But then you get in the post-game media conference and Dave Aranda says, you know, we're still trying to find our way. That's code language for our leaders haven't stepped up yet. So that's what to listen for around Baylor early this year.
Josh, the last question I have for you is, maybe I gave you the most loaded one of all time earlier. I'm going to top it now, because when I look at this Baylor program, I see, and I've said this in the past over the last year on different shows, that I just don't know if the small Baptist school in Waco could win a national championship at the FBS level just in the current state of college football, because of your Alabamas, your Georgias, and the way they recruit, right? The difference in athleticism. At some point, athleticism trumps culture or program in those big games. And I'm still struggling to get on board with the idea that Dave Aranda can be a national championship winning coach, or that really anyone could in Waco. Is there something, can you change my mind, or are you in that boat too?
So you are in college currently, right?
That is correct. I am in the midst of finals week. So you're getting the fullness of my college self.
All right. So here's what I would say as I diddle around with things on my desk here. Here's what I would say. I, as a general rule, avoid this phrase at all costs because it makes me sound 75 years old. But kids your age need to understand something. I can't believe I said it. Ugh, it feels gross when I say it. Here's what I would say. The Baylor, like when I was in college, which is contrary to popular belief, not all that long ago. When I was in college, Baylor was a joke. They were trash, absolute laughing stock. They were synonymous with one or two win seasons. If you would have told me, well, first off, if you would have told me I was doing this job, period, X number of years down the road, I would have just dropped to my knees and thanked the Lord. And I still do. But if you also would have told me, after you get up off your knees, you're going to be doing a show asking what Baylor needs to do to win a championship, I would have said, in what sport? It just would have been beyond me that football was even in the conversation. So let's pause for a second and appreciate that we can even talk about this. But then the second thing I would say is, some of the best advice I ever got about my own professional life that also applies to this conversation is, the traffic disappears when you create your own lane. Baylor's not going to get it done the way Alabama gets it done. That doesn't mean I can't get it done. You know, Clemson doesn't get it done the way Bama got it done. But Clemson, under Dabo Swinney, realized that. And so they created a new lane. I think we can look at Clemson football and say, yeah, there are characteristics they have synonymous with other programs, but they also have their own identity. No other program out there does it exactly how Clemson does it. That's the formula, in theory, for Baylor. You create your own lane, and then all of a sudden there's no traffic. And whatever you can accomplish in that lane, you can accomplish. Look, it could be that Dave Aranda stuns the world and wins a national championship in 2025. And that would be cause for a statewide holiday to be declared. But it also could be that their ceiling is to contend to do what they did last year. Dude, that's winning a conference championship and going to a New Year's Six game at Baylor. That's a huge, huge, huge deal. That's a conversation in and of itself that most of the sport in general would tell you they don't have any business being in. And yet they're in it right now, ahead of schedule, quote unquote. So I would say creating one's own lane at Baylor, that's the biggest key. And then you just go as fast as you can go in that lane.
Josh, you're saying there's a chance, and I like that much at least. Look, one at a time, Baylor fans and you are changing my mind that it's a possibility somewhere out there in the future. And my young, naive self thanks you for giving me that idea. I'm going to hold on to hope then. So, Josh, for all those that are listening out there today, if they haven't seen your stuff, I'd be awfully surprised. But I still want to give you time to plug what you're doing right now and where they can find it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on. You can watch the Late Kick live show or podcast. You can get it on the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel if you prefer the video version. If you want audio, you can search Late Kick wherever you get your podcasts. I love where we're at right now. As much as Dave Aranda's got that process going on at Baylor, we are very, very happy with the direction that things are going with the show here. And CBS and 24/7 have given us full freedom to do it the way we want to do it, which is pretty unprecedented for people who came from the independent content world. So Late Kick, search it anywhere. It'll be there at your leisure.
Boom. And Josh, I know I said this off air and even on air, you are one of the few members of the national media that really has put a spotlight on Baylor the last couple of years. And so the entire Baylor Nation, that's why I say they probably heard your name and have seen plenty of your stuff when it comes to the Baylor side. So look, you're filling that hole of the national media member that I'm looking for, that knows Baylor and really sees what's going on here. So I want to thank you for bringing that perspective. Thanks for joining the show. Pleasure having you.
I appreciate you, brother.
All right, that was Josh Pate of CBS Sports and 24/7. I tell you what, good content, man. Gosh dang it. Build your own road. Pave yourself like that. You put half of that conversation on a wristband or a t-shirt and sell a gajillion of them. And I love that that guy has been so up close and personal with Dave Aranda. Been around this program enough to know where the trajectory of Aranda's program is heading. And I think he's given me a lot of confidence, and I'm sure you as well, that Dave Aranda, you know, we already knew he's the right fit, but he's going to have something that's sustained for years to come. And these 2 years, or really just his one successful year, is not just a blip. And that, you know, maybe it's not a national championship caliber program every single season, but you're winning the conference. You're in that conversation at least. And Dave Aranda has done that. And Josh Pate, a guy who's seen a hell of a lot of football, knows that it's going to stick around. And when he says he's confident in that, I know that I am as well. I'll let you know that today's third segment, we're a little short on time. So today's third segment is non-existent. I know. I wish I had content. Look, fourth wall, behind the curtain. We'll pull it back. It's finals week. I know you don't care. I know you don't care. You don't have to care. It's okay. I have written, in combination, 62 pages. I'm a journalism major, so I've written 62 pages in papers over the course of the last 10 days. I do have to be a student at some points in my life, and this is one of those very, very few points. But academics certainly come first, and that's where I am right now, grinding away and finishing my finals. But they're all done at the end of the week, and I'll tell you, to make up for not having a big, elaborate, grand third segment, tomorrow's show is going to be a crossover with the good kind folks from Locked On Texas, Locked On Texas Tech, Locked On Big 12, maybe Locked On Oklahoma. There are a bunch of guys. We're all getting together and doing a crossover, talking about the running back rooms across the Big 12. Who has the best one? What do we have to look forward to? So not only will you get Locked On Baylor tomorrow, but a great glimpse into what Baylor has coming in the running back spot and what other schools around the conference do as well. But thank you for Locked On Baylor. You're listening every day. I really do hope that you enjoyed Josh Pate today. An unbelievable guest with great insight from a national perspective who covers Baylor very closely. I recommend go check him out, follow him, see the stuff that he's doing, and make your second listen of the day Locked On Big 12. Get all of your Big 12 news in less than 30 minutes with expert Josh Neighbors. Really, really good content. Again, just try it out. One episode, try it out. See if you like it. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Come back tomorrow as we talk about the Baylor running back room and the running back rooms across the Big 12 on Locked On Baylor. See you guys later.